Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hera.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two here on Dusty and Cam in the morning. This Monday, January 20th, a very happy MLK Day to everybody that is out there, whether you're working or not, in remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. It's a good time to kind of look back and think of the man that he was and what he brought to this country. So I didn't want to go, you know, without acknowledging Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day.
For certain.
So we have got a lot that we've gotten to already. If you'd missed any of it, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. We had Statement Monday. We talked a little bit about the Mahomes magic. This hour we'll break down AFC NFC championship games and our case of the Mondays at 7:45. So text us 55305 on that one. We got a lot to get to this hour, so let's not waste any time. It is 7:04.
What's hot?
Okay.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, one thing that is an MLK Day tradition is a full slate of NBA action today, and that does include the Portland Trailblazers. But the big news out of Rip City is that they made a trade, my man, over the weekend.
Read me the answer. I tried. Caleb Swanigan circling on back, swinging on back around.
I'm going to be honest.
Read me the answer, huh?
I heard Caleb Swanigan was involved in the trade, and I thought to myself,
is this a bigger or smaller Caleb
Swanigan?
Isn't
he already on the Blazers? What? Is he at least on their G League team? I swore that he was already in the organization.
Is this the Swanigan that was prior to the trade size, or is this the Swanigan that was the king size?
This is the Caleb Swanigan that when he left town, every Blazer fan was like, oh, all right, well, I mean, he was no good and he couldn't do it here anyway, so at least he can go get a chance in Sacramento. Neil O'Shea loves to deal with the Sacramento Kings, and he did it again.
He can't let go of things that he drafted.
No.
Can't do it.
Kent Bazemore and Anthony Tolliver, along with 2 second-round picks in, 2024, 2025, are going to Sacramento for Trevor Ariza, Caleb Swanigan, and Wenyen Gabriel. All 5 players involved in the deal have expiring contracts except for Ariza, who has is $1.8 million in guarantees for next season. Essentially what the Blazers did, they got themselves some salary cap room.
I'm just asking right now.
Okay.
Why, and please, I need more of Neil O'Shea and Vlade Divac going on their on their cruise and Euro cruise. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what it's like to have a cigarette with those guys.
Yeah, do you think?
Because that's the only thing I'm thinking that they do is like, what is the connection with Neil O'Shea?
Yeah.
What? And Vlade Divac?
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Like maybe.
Where's the love in? And those are the two most bizarre connection I've ever seen.
Maybe he sends like a carton of Turkish Delights with it, you know? Or, you know, some cigarettes and.
Baklava.
There you go. And then boom, it sweetens the pot a little bit because they just like deal back and forth. And obviously this is Caleb Swanigan. So odd. Oh yeah. By the way, Blazers, Warriors, 7 o'clock tonight, Moda, TNT.
You're as cold as ice.
All right, let's talk a little college hoops. Washington State dominating the Oregon schools over the weekend. After beating the Ducks on Thursday night, they took out the Beavers on Saturday, 89-76, to complete the Oregon sweep. Meanwhile, the eighth-ranked Ducks knocked off Washington in overtime, 64-61. That Isaiah Stewart guy, my God, he's a load for the Huskies. I was watching that game.
I thought it was more about Peyton Pritchard's step-back logo shot for the game-winning. I finally figured out who Pritchard reminds me of.
Whomst.
He's Baker Mayfield.
He is. Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. He has that kind of swag. He has that kind of ability, college playmaking ability.
Teammates love him.
They look like. Yeah, they look a lot. And boy, did he talk some S after the game.
Yeah.
He talked some S and he backed it up with a game-winning shot, which that is. That's as difficult as a shot you'll see in any basketball game ever.
Pritchard's a dude, man, and he was taking that shot regardless of if he was hitting it or not throughout the course of the game. It was good to see.
But he was stomping around saying, this is my state.
He definitely did that.
Even though he just lost to Washington State and previously lost to Gonzaga earlier in the year.
That's why I called him Baker Mayfield. He lives in the moment. He does his deal.
He didn't grab his crotch.
And where's he from, by the way?
West Lynn.
Oh, that rough area.
Four West state Lynn. Championships.
Yeah.
Rough area. Well, pretty tough over there.
Hey, whoa.
You got to find your edge.
At the bottom of the hill,
Find your edge.
Also, the number one Zags, they continue to roll 92-69. They beat BYU. Gonzaga, the number one team in the country. And they will stay number one because nobody else seems to want to win. Do you see the upsets that were in college basketball? Third-ranked Duke lost. Number four, Auburn lost. Number five, Butler lost. Nobody wants to be in the top 10. I think that's the case this week.
Except Gonzaga. Oh, wait.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that nobody wants it, so they're going to just stay number one. Nobody's coming for them. On the women's side, number eight, Oregon State, lost 61-58 to number three, Stanford. They've got a Civil War matchup with the Ducks, who, after suffering a setback to Arizona State last week, they beat the Bay Area schools by a combined 82 points. They beat Stanford by 32, and then the sixth-ranked Ducks beat Cal 105-55 yesterday. Whoa, that'd be a 50-point win, Bob. So there's your college hoops roundup. Not sure what to make of this news, but the Houston Texans have replaced Romeo Crennel as the defensive coordinator.
Yes, they have.
He is out, and Anthony Weaver takes over. I don't know anything about Anthony Weaver, but I do know.
D-line coach.
Has he been around for a long time?
Yeah, he's been a part of that staff for a little bit. I'm not certain. Mm. I know they also fired their executive vice president, too.
Yeah. So they're just going to let Bill O'Brien run everything then, right?
Well, why not? I mean, they lost the owner. The owner passed away, was it just last year?
Yeah, Bob McNair.
Yeah, Bob McNair. So the family's running it at this point, and Bill O'Brien's been the staple, and he's made playoff games.
Remember
won this- a playoff game. I know, but... we're not living in Houston. They might think that they're in a pretty good shape. They're in a window. So stay in the window.
They fired their GM before last season. Remember that?
Yeah, Rick Smith.
Still don't have a GM. Mm-hmm. They got rid of another executive, as you said. Yeah. And so they're just saying, all right, Bill, you could just go ahead and do what you want, man.
Yeah, it's the Patriot way. It's now the Texan way.
Mm. Yeah, just getting rid of all of them. So Romeo Crennel may take over an advisory role within the organization, though. I don't know what that means.
Cam may have lined up against Anthony Weaver. He played defensive line around the same time that Cam played tight end.
Interesting.
Played for the Ravens and Texans.
Was that memorable?
It probably did.
Yeah.
Probably did. Huh? Probably says that about him. He's like, who?
Huh?
That guy?
Huh? I remember
that
guy. Tom Brady did an interview with Westwood One yesterday, saying that he's open to everything right now, as he's going to look at being a free agent, and he's going to talk to everybody. That comes on the heels of photos of him and Mark Davis in Vegas together at the Conor McGregor Cowboy Cerrone fight.
So I'm starting to draw some conclusions. So let me put this conclusion to you. There are places that Tom Brady is going to go. First of all, it's going to be warm.
Mm.
That's my first prediction. So that eliminates a lot of teams where it's cold. Second, is that Philip Rivers has moved from California to officially moved his entire family to the state of Florida to be closer to home. I'm not going to draw any conclusions or anything whatsoever. We do know Vegas and Derek Carr I don't know how that marriage is doing. I don't. It wasn't. It certainly wasn't married under the pretenses of the Gruden Church. We do know that it could be interesting to sell some tickets in Vegas, and wouldn't more sell tickets than bring in the goat. Or moving into a new building, potentially in Los Angeles, where things are a lot warmer and nicer.
You know, I loved how you started with, I'm going to draw to some conclusions. Then you went, I'm not going to draw to the conclusions, though.
There's these dots need to connect. A straight line is heading to the media markets and the Mecca. Where else would you rather be? If you're going to go and retire, people don't retire in the cold. Brett Favre continues to retire in the cold. I mean, Peyton Manning wants to go from a dome to an outside guy. Tom Brady's not going to go to the cold.
Can we draw the conclusion, Philip Rivers of the Bucks then? Where in Florida did he move?
He moved to Florida.
Oh, just in general?
Yeah, because he's an East Coast kid.
But yeah, he's from North Carolina? Or is he from Alabama?
He's got nine children now, and they're still going.
I think he's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to start a new show called Rivers 19 and County. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a smart move for tax purposes.
Florida. Phil Mickelson just moved out of state of LA. Oh. State of California, too. He moved to Jupiter, Florida with the rest of the superstars.
That's where all the golfers live.
Yes, Phil Rivers from Decatur, Alabama.
Sure.
Yeah. You go be closer to family. That's what you do.
Bagum. All right.
Who'd want to live in San Diego anyway?
Me.
Can you afford a flat? Live on the beach?
Nope. Conference championship weekend in the National Football League saw Super Bowl tickets punched. The 49ers go wire to wire, opening up a 27-0 lead at the half to bludgeon the Green Bay Packers. 37-20 the final in that one. Meanwhile, on the AFC side, Titans, their magical run ends after jumping out to a 10-0 lead. Patrick Mahomes and company turns it on. 35-24, the Chiefs hang on for a win. 294 through the air, 3 touchdowns, 53 and on the ground, and a rushing touchdown for Patty Mahomes.
Buck, I thought your retweet was quite interesting. Would you like to share that with our listeners?
Which one was that?
The one that involved maybe a former coach that might be from around here.
I tweeted on from the 1080 The Fan account. Somebody said...
Read the headline, though.
From Chip to Champs? Eagles, 2015, fire Chip Kelly. 2017, reach Super Bowl and win. Oh. 49ers, 2016, fire Chip Kelly. 2019, reach Super Bowl and... Something to consider.
Connect some dots.
Chip's the key to championships.
Yeah.
Chip's the key to chips.
Not him winning them. Nope. All right. Let's dive into the AFC Championship. Kansas City falls into a hole again, but oh my goodness, did they find a way to dig themselves out of it. Was it on the backs of their defense? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
18 seconds, they will count it down here at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs Kingdom, hoping, their dreams have come true. Hail to the King of the Chiefs Kingdom forever, because today... The team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
That was the call on 101 The Fox, home of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chiefs Radio Network. They did it, man. Andy Reid gets the monkey off his back, and he's back in the Super Bowl after 15 years. And dare I say, Mr. Cleland, was that game won by the Kansas City Chiefs defense bowing their backs in that midway stretch of that game there from the second quarter on, the defense coming up with timely stops and figuring out a way to stop Derrick Henry in the running attack?
I think what changed was... Is that certainly you could say that it was a great pass rush or defensive front from listening to Frank Clark. And here's my statement again of a statement of a day. Is that the only way you're going to be able to stop Derrick Henry, and as you moved into the second quarter, you can kind of see that, is the intimidation factor of kind of watching Patrick Mahomes work. And eventually you started seeing that if you put the ball in the hands of their deficiency. Well, Ryan Tannehill has always kind of been the most inefficient quarterback when it talks about being, he's not going to be able to go down the field. They were based on play action. They had great tight end play. Derrick Henry was shut down. So as soon as you score, and you can score immediately and score quickly like Kansas City did, Kansas City made Tennessee, which they haven't had to do this year, they had to flip their mindset. That's weird. That's hard. Yeah. And to be able to do that, that's the first time that anybody, you certainly saw Baltimore try to do it, but Tennessee just took it away from them the entire time. Didn't have the option. You saw what the Patriots did. Couldn't do it. Couldn't take away that kind of energy. Couldn't take away the game plan. That's what Kansas City did. So it wasn't for me. It wasn't just a much more about what the defense for Kansas City did. It's what Patrick Mahomes and the offense intimidated them into saying is that we can't take these 9-8 minute drives. We got to find a way to score quickly. And they couldn't.
Because, I go back to that. Tennessee goes on that 9-minute and 7-second just death march of a drive where, what, it was 15 plays. Kansas City bailed them out with, like, a long PI. They get them back in behind the sticks in a 1st and 20, and then you get another pass interference call where it just, like, kept the drive alive. And it's 9 minutes and 7 seconds. You went, whoa, Kansas City may be onto something here. And then, or Tennessee may be onto something here. And then Kansas City, they get a quick score offensively, and then their defense forces a 3-and-out. And I was like, whoa, here we go with 2 touchdown drives back-to-back that you just went, all right, we know the offense is capable of it, but that stop in between the KC scores was where we haven't seen from this Chiefs defense against teams that can pound the ball like Tennessee can.
I don't always like to say games come down to one or two games or one or two plays, but it usually does come down to 5 or 6. I mean, that's about the number. The most significant play was a call that was made on a holding call that made that there were Derrick Henry was down. He ran down to probably, I think it was somewhere around the 6 or 7 yard line. Tennessee was getting ready to score. They get a holding call, which was one of the brutalest holding calls, which you shouldn't be making holding calls in the playoffs anyway. They're massively detrimental. They're a waste of time. And I couldn't handle watching Tony Corrente, who couldn't even talk by the end of the game because his mouth couldn't move. He was so damn cold. Brutal holding call on the right guard. I'm sorry, it was the right tackle. His arm was just on his back, never grabbed into anything. The arm was just outside the framework, but there wasn't any grab. That changed everything because it bumped them back to 1st and 20. Then they had to try a play action. Couldn't do anything at that point. Went for it on 4th down, flipped it. Kansas City went down, scored. Game over, game, set, match. Because you're going to see Tennessee score. They're going to score in that drive, and it's going to change the way it games. But that's football. You have to play with it. You're not going to wait for referees. Those were too significant. They had a couple holding calls that were really brutal. The right team won. The better team won. But I thought that was a major, major momentum suck out. That was bad.
Whoa.
For Tennessee.
So that
sucked the air right out of them.
Here's just like you boil it down to the Chiefs' quick strike offense. Their 3 scoring drives in the first half combined 9 minutes and 22 seconds. The one drive that was 15 plays, 9:07 for the Tennessee Titans on one of their scoring drives. Like, they made them just suffer with those quick drives at the end of the half. And really, didn't the end that second half come down to Kansas City stopped shooting themselves in the foot? They had, what, 3 offsides penalties, that long PI penalty that kept a drive alive. It was Kansas City just stopped shooting themselves in the foot in the second half, and we saw how that lead just kind of ballooned for them.
I saw a third quarter that was very back and forth, still trying to feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
What changed the game was Patrick Mahomes making plays with his feet. The scramble for that touchdown, that 27-yard run.
At the end of the half, which overcame Andy Reid's bad clock management.
That to be able to have that score and change and take the momentum. But it was a very, nobody scored in the third quarter. So that there was still that kind of uncertainty. I mean, it was a pretty good, what was it, 21-17 at that point, somewhere around there, I think. So the game wasn't out of hand. It just wasn't. But Patrick Mahomes ended up taking over. He wore them down physically to the point where you had bad rush lanes over and over again by Tennessee. They tried to bring 3 guys. And even when they brought 4, they could not maintain their rush integrity. But if you're going to do that, even if you try to spy, which they tried to a little bit, and they tried to implement some sort of spy on Patrick Mahomes to make sure that he stayed in the pocket. But even when he tried to turn, is that Patrick Mahomes, every time he gets outside the pocket, he's not a run first guy. He's actually, I'm going to throw this ball. So what does a spy do? It's like, do I show up and engage? Do I drop back? The uncertainty of it is that if you're looking at other guys, Lamar Jackson's not running outside the pocket to throw. Russell Wilson, at his point in time, he can do it, but I don't know if he's as good as Patrick Mahomes is. He doesn't have the kind of arm talent that Patrick Mahomes does. He's a very good thrower, but that was scary. You can't maintain your rush lanes. Your spy isn't working, and he just took over.
Well, and I found it very interesting in the first half, kind of how they were slow playing to the inside, and those linebackers had their eyes on Mahomes. the answer for Kansas City was how many fly sweeps did they run to get to the edge quickly, where they knew they had Hardman and Tyreek Hill, who had speed advantage on the edge. And if you're going to kind of slow play up front and just kind of play side to side and not get too far upfield, and the linebacker is going to be looking at Mahomes, they just said, fine, we'll have these speedsters just get to the edge. And they ran it, what, three or four times in that first half? Well, they ran it back to back on plays on their first scoring drive, where you just said, all right, if that's what you're going to do, give it to him. And then I thought Romo did a good job of breaking down that Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator, came up with two different game plans for Mahomes.
Yeah, like running goal line, bringing more guys in the box, trying to stop an identity of it. They did an excellent job of taking the ball out of Derrick Henry's hands, who only had 69 yards rushing. That's incredible.
Oh, I was talking about Tennessee's defense.
No, I'm just talking about both, what Pease did. They tried, okay, if we're going to talk about what Tennessee did on defense, I was more focusing, I'm sorry, what Kansas City did to try to stop Derrick Henry. The defense at the beginning of the game, you could match up with what Tennessee was trying to do. They tried to set their identity. They weren't going to change. They weren't going to deviate off the path. We knew that. What got them there? They've already been playing with house money the entire playoffs, being a 9-7 team and getting in and beating the number one seed and knocking off the greatest team that's ever been assembled. Organization, not the greatest team. So they were kind of going in with no pressure. And they weren't going to change. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to do it. And their defense wasn't, I mean, was there a significant change on their defense? I mean, really, has anybody tried to stop Kansas City and tried to do something different? Are you going to play man? Are you going to play zone? What are you going to do? Make a few schemes look differently? Their speed makes up for all their inefficiencies. They're not the best when it comes with route running, but they're so fast and they're so quick, and the anticipation of Patrick Mahomes makes them almost unguardable.
And that's kind of what, you know, I thought was pretty cool that Romo was bringing up in the game, was that, like, it seems like, in not so many words, he was saying the first quarter and the third quarter for Mahomes, Bieniemy, and Andy Reid were, all right, we're going to figure out what these Titans are doing and how they're going to try to defend us. And then you see in the second quarter, boom, they pop into the first quarter for them. They score. And then the second quarter, they put 14 up. And then in the fourth quarter, they came out and it was like, all right, we got you figured out, man. You cannot stop us. And that is the most frightening part, is that their adjustments on the fly. How do you stop Patrick Mahomes in these situations where once he figures you out, you're dead to rights? And he does it every time.
Well, you give the ball to Ryan Tannehill. That's how you stop it. No, it hasn't changed about Ryan Tannehill. It hasn't changed my mindset. Okay, it's still okay. He's not a franchise quarterback. He certainly isn't the guy that can win you a super. I mean, without Derrick Henry, you saw what happens when you put the ball in the hands of the person that's the most important person on the field. It's the quarterback. Derrick Henry is great. He is the AFC and the National Football League's leading rusher. Leading rushers don't win Super Bowls. Quarterbacks do. And it's made to order in today's NFL, from the way you run outside the pocket, the way they protect you inside the pocket, and the way they make sure that all rules are now wrapped around quarterback play. Ryan Tannehill, do you franchise him and offer him a league minimum, maybe around the franchise number? If you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal with $25 million, Tennessee, you're morons.
I've got questions about that offensive attack for Tennessee, including, did they give up on Derrick Henry a little bit too soon? I mean, you just mentioned it right there. You forced Tannehill to beat you. And then Tyrann Mathieu, in the role he's played for Kansas City, he's been a monster for them. First is Buck with SportsCenter. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs win on a 7-minute drive that they just tore a page out of Tennessee's playbook, where they ran the ball 10 of their 13 plays, 51 of 73 yards coming on the ground in that first scoring drive of the second half, where they punch it in with, like, just right second play of the fourth quarter and take a 28-17 lead. And then you have the Tennessee Titans come out and they throw the ball four straight plays and give it right back to the Chiefs. Did they give up on Derrick Henry too early, the Tennessee Titans?
I don't think they had an option. I don't think that they even, when I talk about this, I don't think Tennessee had another mindset that they said, eventually, we have to throw the football. I mean, if you're getting stopped, no matter how good you are of Derrick Henry, if you can't control the pace of the game, you have to have multiple identities. It's hard to have multiple identities, but a 9-7 football team is not going to be as complete as Kansas City or San Francisco. They didn't prove it throughout the season. That is, It's not surprising.
Yeah.
See, the thing about beating Baltimore is Baltimore's identity was and always will be currently under this model, Lamar Jackson. That's their identity. They won an entire and got a number one seed the entire year based upon one regime and one mentality, is that he can make a play at any point in time. Same thing with the Tennessee Titans. Their identity post their 1-4 start when they were considered a brutal team and bad and they made the adjustment to Ryan Tannehill is that they understood is that we can't put the ball in Marcus's hands anymore. Mm-hmm. We have to put it in our biggest playmaker. Our identity is going to form. We are going to win and lose on this mindset. So you got to see them, and they're not going to change. They're not going to change. They're not going to deviate. They don't have that kind of versatility at the quarterback position. So when you get there and finally see, well, maybe Tannehill can't. That was it. It was just a display of really what Ryan Tannehill is. He's a very solid guy. He's a good quarterback, good solid football player. Is he on the level of Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and some of these guys? And watching that, even Aaron Rodgers and all that? No. And you could see the deficiencies.
It just seemed like if I'm a Titans fan, it would be unsettling to see that your bread and butter and what got you to that point. It was 28-17, so it's still a two-possession game, and you just gave up on giving the ball to the guy who got you there and running the football with Derrick Henry, and it seemed like it was too early to pull that ripcord and say, all right, we have to throw the ball with Tannehill because you didn't on that
drive.
You're
behind the sticks too. The more you get behind the sticks, the more you're in first and long, a couple holding calls, you have a tackle for loss. If you had run Derrick Henry on first down and he doesn't get you 4 yards a pop, your offense is now completely different because once you get out of that mindset, is that now second and six, third and two. Here's what Tennessee wants to do. First down run. They want to gain 4 or 5 yards. They want to be on second and five. Then we can go deep with the play action, or we can do a smaller screen, or we can do something and run Derrick Henry. Now we're third and two. I can get third and twos. I can have small little easy little throws. Corey Davis, a small little wide receiver. That's the guy they're going to throw to.
And Humphreys.
Okay? Yeah, and Adam Humphreys. We're going to complete those third and threes, third and fours. We're going to control the football game and the mindset.
Right.
As soon as you get behind the sticks, what does behind the sticks means? Outside of first and 10, you get first and long, you get second and long, you get third and long, things have to change. You can't run the same thing.
Right.
So that's good on Kansas City, but it's also good on a couple significant penalties that put them behind the sticks.
But the drive that I'm talking about there, they came out and Tannehill completes a pass on first down. Like they get a 15-yard gain, and then he throws that weird 2-yard loss to Derrick Henry because there's a party in the backfield by Kansas City all day long where they were getting a good pass rush on him. So you have the negative 2-yard pass, and then you don't run the ball, and then you get sacked for -5, and then boom, your drive's done.
They didn't
put the ball in the hands of Derrick Henry at all that drive, and that was and that's just what I'm saying is that seems like the confusing part is they pulled the ripcord on giving the ball to Derrick Henry. I thought way too early.
Let's analyze why that happened with Tennessee, and this is why it happens. If you're an offensive lineman, it is a lot easier to move forward and block in a run game. Offensive linemen love to run block. Okay, they love to because you're in attack mode. You're moving forward, your zone scheme, and you're allowing your fullbacks, and everybody's moving forward, and it's a lot easier to be the aggressor because when you attack and you step with a mindset of a zone run blocking scheme, you're already setting yourself up for success. It is easier to do. It's also way more comfortable, and it's intimidating. If you're backpedaling, here's a team that hasn't been backpedaling the entire second half of the season. From when they started their run, they predominantly ran the ball 70% of the time, 70-75% of the time. So if I'm in attack mode 75-75% of the time, am I going to be confident once we have to throw? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be good at pass setting? Just ask yourself that. No. They're not going to be good at it. So those of you that want to say that the defensive pass rush of Kansas City was excellent, it was good. But you're talking about a team that wasn't even prepared mentally or physically to be in retreat mode.
Right.
Because as an offensive lineman, you're retreating in pass protection. You're actually going backwards against somebody that's running forwards. And if you're not doing that consistently, and it hasn't been your identity, like, and I'm going to use San Francisco as an example, because they pass, set, and run block as good as any team in football right now. So they have that kind of identity. But let's move to Tennessee. Tennessee didn't feel comfortable in it. You could see it. They didn't know how to set. They didn't pick up the blitzes. They weren't able to pick up not only on the screens. You're trying to run a screen, which is a horrible football call, versus a team you think is blitzing you. They weren't blitzing you. They were just rushing four and getting to your quarterback.
To a slow tight end, too. who is leaking
out. So that just shows you that they got out schemed.
Yeah. And that, to me, is that kind of makes it, you know, kind of backs up what I'm saying is that I would have loved to see them for what you just said right there. Go down. If that ship's going to go down with what you're comfortable doing and do what got you there. One of the other reasons why the pass game wasn't working and the run game as well. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, what a unbelievable Swiss Army knife that guy is. From only being like, what, 5'9", 180 pounds? He was everywhere on the field for Kansas City.
Yeah, it was a really good pickup by them in the offseason.
My goodness.
Really good pickup.
Did you expect or anticipate, like, we knew he'd be one of those ball-hawking safeties, but whether it was playing center field, in the box, walking up to line of scrimmage, he's everywhere for them. And he's Mr. Johnny on the spot.
Well, it frees you up if you don't have a deep threat. Kansas or Tennessee doesn't have a deep threat, so you don't need a deep safety. You don't have a deep threat, you don't need a deep safety. So what does that do? That allows the defense to say, okay, if we're going to treat you as a, what is he quoted as? A true free safety. When you become a free safety, means that your pass protection or your pass scheme says, I'm going to trust my guys on the outside. We don't have anybody that's going to worry about getting behind us. So now he can play down in the box more. He can be a run threat. And of course, going into the game plan, Kansas City is going to look at this and say, our biggest fear is Derrick Henry. Come on, dude. You better get down in there. You have to get down in the box. We got to make a threat. You're going to have to cover the tight ends. And he did a great job of that. That was a free game watching a kid play. He looked like he was having fun, too.
He reminds me of young Earl Thomas. He reminds me of the way he can kind of go all
play
over.
Play both sides, yeah. Absolutely.
he's awesome. And watching his reactions after the game, and, you know, they were saying on TV, like, hey, he's going to be crying and all that stuff. That was really cool. That was a really cool moment to see him. And then Frank Clark as well. We read the Frank Clark comments. This was his interview about, remember he said, you got to cut Derrick Henry down low?
Yeah.
This was him on the NFL Network after the game.
Past two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we wasn't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards, they call him the best rusher in the league. We sit in this home early.
Man, I'm telling you what. He backed it up. He backed it up. But I can tell you this. I'm going to try to convince all moving forward. Hey, Frank Clark can run his mouth as good as anybody, man.
Yes,
he backed it up. You backed it up. You backed it up. You knocked him off. You stopped him. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is my. Oh, you know what? I'm going to save this. It's the case of the Mondays next.
Oh, is it Frank Clark related?
It might be.
Okay, because I got another Frank Clark drop for you that was an all-timer. Case of the Mondays, what's grinding your gears? Text us 55305. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A Case of the Mondays, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan. Just another
manic Monday. 55305. That's where you can get your case of the Mondays in. You guys have all been very aggressive on the case of the Mondays lately. And sometimes I'll just read them without going through in first proofreading because they come in and I don't have time to go through all of these. We're just going rapid fire. So it's almost got me caught a few times saying some stuff on the air that shouldn't be said. So well played by you guys, but it's stuff that's grinding your gears. And this one comes in first. My case of the Mondays is the fact my wife took video of me crying like a baby when my team finally made it to the Super Bowl and then posted it on the internet. Thanks, babe.
Raw, unadulterated emotion.
Sucks. That's a fireable offense.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because he's a man crying?
No, it's a fireable offense to post something without asking that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to him or her. Yeah.
She should preface this as like, is it okay if we share this?
Hey, this is going on the internet.
A small moment of seriousness, but, you know, hey. It gives you the right to put that in the bank something for the wife later.
She does it to you.
Yeah, no, you better use that. Like, hey, you remember that time I let you put me all sensitive on the internet?
Just take a picture of her sleeping and post that
on the
internet.
Turn out the lights.
You know, they hate that.
What? Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, we'd take a picture of him sleeping and be like, hey, look at that drool you got rolling down your face.
Against the rules also.
Okay. 5-5. Well, if they're going to break the rules, you can break it right back. 55305. Send your case of the Mondays. You set one up that may be Frank Clark related.
It's Frank Clark related, right, but it's related to all defensive linemen.
Okay.
All you D linemen out there. All right. This is it. I'm old man yelling at a cloud.
Go ahead, do it.
Coming out on my porch right now, and I'm just going to take it from here on out. I'm going to defend and go after the best group in all of sports. That's the offensive line. If, and I want you to continue to watch this, if the offensive linemen celebrated their 50 pancakes the way you D linemen continue to celebrate your one tackle for loss, life would be a heck of a lot better. I am exhausted with seeing every play that you make is the greatest play in the world. I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy it. Nick Bosa, you're spectacular. You enjoy it. But isn't it amazing how the offensive lineman, well, I saw an offensive lineman, four different offensive, like Mitchell Schwartz, murdering dudes down the field. Big of his hand, walk back to the huddle. If I could do one thing moving forward, is that I want offensive linemen to become more like, just look what I just did over and over again. I don't know what gets the breed. I continue to look at the way the D linemen celebrate every mediocre tackle down the field. You're going to bow up after you got run over, and you're going to act like you did. You don't have, enjoy it, have fun. I know it's a game. This is old man yelling at a cloud.
But you know what? For me, it's the defensive backs, because sometimes they don't even make the play.
Bad too.
Quarterback throws one out of bounds and they start waving their arms around like did something.
You did your job. You made a tackle 15 yards downfield and you knocked him down and you're going to stare at him?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Guy didn't do his job.
To your point, I think the San Francisco 49ers are bucking the trend. How many offensive linemen did you see celebrating yesterday? That was great because they were celebrating in the end zone so often. They got to celebrate by spiking the
football.
But
here's the difference. Is the O-linemen celebrate together, the D-linemen celebrate by themselves? That's the difference.
Yes, that is very true.
I'm hyper defending the O-line because I don't think they get enough love.
They absolutely don't.
They never get enough love. And because they're not bred to look at me. They're not bred that way. Yeah. They're just not. They live in a different barn. Okay. They're way off in the far corner of the barn. They hang out by themselves, they eat Krispy Kreme donuts, and they socialize together. That's what they do. And they're just like we're workmen.
Well, they're taught their entire lives that if they get attention, it's a bad thing because it's a penalty. So any attention is a bad thing. Frank Clark kept it going after the game. I played you that clip of Derrick Henry. This is him on the NFL Network. Mind you, this is televised live. Frank Clark.
They must not know who I am yet. They gonna find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, this gonna change. Look at we're the best in the world.
Go enjoy it.
Go get it, man. He's in the.
Go enjoy it. Get out of here and off the microphone.
He's in the Super Bowl.
Like, after the third one, I'm surprised that the guy wasn't like, all right, I'm taking this microphone back. Nope, just kept on rolling through. We're just gonna keep on going right in with this. Frank Clark, everybody. All about him. All about it.
Thumbs out. Check me out.
Yep. All right. Here we go. Case O the Mondays. How awful the championships games were. I'm a Seahawks fan, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But last year, both games went to overtime and were exciting. This year, they sucked.
Oh, God. There was only one good, really, game. I mean, there was maybe.
We had two good
wild
halves.
Card weekend was the only good weekend so far as a whole. All the other has been disappointing.
I thought divisional round was not as good as wild card. It was progressively got worse, but it was good. What, Seahawks Packers wasn't a good game?
Oh no, it was a good. I'm just saying as a whole, like when you get all the games are good. All the wild card games are good.
We got drama in KC Houston with a rally to end all rallies down 24-0. But you're right. Wild card weekend was the best, and hopefully I think the Super Bowl is setting up to be a great one, right? I mean, I think it is.
I don't know. I hope so.
Well,
I really hope so.
The two teams we all wanted, the favorites are in it, and I think they're in it.
We thought this last weekend might be. I mean, we were all chalk. We were all maybe double digit wins.
Felt
all
it.
You know,
yeah.
all favorites covering, all that happened. But yep. I mean, this one's already billed as being tighter. And just because it's billed that way doesn't mean it will be. But nope. I think it's harder to pick a winner in this one for sure.
P1, Zach and Eugene, Blazers making trades and the season doesn't really matter anymore. Well, that's a good case in the Mondays to have. Yeah. I mean, everybody has their own. Wife complained all weekend. The dog was whining while I was gone. I got home at midnight on Saturday. Dog had a heart attack 10 minutes later and died. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry for you. Only good thing
that's
is that it did after I got home.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh, that sucks. And you know what? His wife probably feels terrible too about complaining about the dog complaining. Obviously there was something wrong.
It's depressing.
That does suck. I mean, that is a brutal case of the Mondays. Sorry about that. Brutal case of the Mondays. Here's one for the offense. Why does every single first down warn a tomahawk chop?
I don't know.
I don't get that either.
Because it says first down. Referees point, first down.
I feel like Freddie Mitchell was the first guy to start doing that really excessively on really basic first down.
The most egregious now.
Hated Freddie Mitchell.
Who does it every single time they make a catch?
Every catch?
Every catch somebody does makes a signal now. Oh, Travis Kelce does it. Jimmy Graham's one of the most egregious users of this.
Yeah, Kelce does it a lot. Cam Newton is still number one.
George
Kittle
does not because he's a god. Don't mess with George.
I mean, he celebrates himself.
He has like a wrestling thing he does.
He does.
Like a little three.
A wrestling thing. A little three.
Yeah. Wait, that's wrestling? Did basketball or wrestling?
No, it's
are we confused
wrestling.
Here?
No, it's he makes like a little three symbol, but it's not a basketball related thing.
Yeah, it's a
three thing. It's related to one of his favorite wrestlers.
Yeah,
he would be a wrestling fan.
Oh,
he's
he
going
will be
into
a wrestling. When he's
always
done.
Like front row at WWE. They've even used him for some like cameos when it comes to the Bay Area.
Oh, Zeke too. Zeke doing his stupid eating thing. Oh my gosh, that drives me crazy.
What does
the Ezekiel Elliott doing his eating thing?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. Everybody's got their thing. What drives you more crazy, Zeke eating or every time Carmelo Anthony making a three pointing to his head going 3-3-3?
Zeke eating. Zeke
really,
eating
I can't
for sure.
stand that stupid three finger up thing.
Yeah, because in basketball,
that drives me insane.
It's easy to ignore. Zeke does it for way too long. It's like, dude, you're down 20.
No, wait. Okay. What's harder to do, make a three or run for a 20-yard run?
I did see what Aaron Jones.
But when it's a 1 yard run?
I don't think he does it with a 1 yard run.
Absolutely.
Please show me that.
If it's a first down, he does.
Any first down.
Yeah, eat it up.
I did see when Aaron Jones got the Packers' first touchdown yesterday and he started like rocking the baby in the end zone and one of his teammates ran over and was like, dude, come on, we're down by way too many for this. Back it up.
Hey, speaking of the NFC Championship game, let's dive into it, huh? NFC Championship, it was the 49ers show start to finish, and what a performance, a historic day in the backfield. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.